welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have had a wonderful week now. It's starting to close out on this gorgeous Friday. It looks like we have here in Florida. Maybe some more rain here in a little bit, but that's pretty normal. And so, we got some interesting stories for you guys today. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, as always, I'm blessed. I tell you what, when I got saved back in 1979, right after that, I got involved with Zig Ziglar like in 1981. And I started listening to Zig Ziglar tapes, which was a few years after I got saved, about 2 years. And then I got listening to Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn and Ziglar always said, he always said, you know what? He goes, a good attitude doesn't solve anything. But a bad attitude doesn't help anything either. he said, so the truth of the matter is you might as well have a good attitude because in most cases it makes things better. And when you begin to realize that not everything always works out exactly perfect for you, but if you have a good attitude about it, you can always try to reframe it and find a way to make it work a lot better for you. And so that's what I've decided to do back in 1979. So if you guys ever wonder why I say to you, I'm blessed, I'm doing great, it's because this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Because, guys, it doesn't make any difference what happens in our daily lives, if it's up or down or greater and not as great. It's just the whole thing is this. It's how you look at it. See, I mean, there's multiple ways to look into things. I read a book back in 1981. It was a very good book. Norman Vincent Peale. The name of the book is How to Start Living and Stop Worrying. How to Start Living and Stop Worrying. And I absolutely recommend that book for everybody. I read it 35 years ago, and I tell you what, once you get that worry monkey off your back, it makes a big difference. Because, well, you know, the Bible says, who by worrying can add a single moment to their life? And then Jesus says, look, you know, that's not going to make any difference if you worry. God knows your needs, and he's going to take care of you because he's your heavenly father. So that's why I look at it that way. What's your first story, bud?
Well, this is interesting now. Up in New Jersey this week, a 17-year-old kid, Frank Harvey, in high school, a high school senior, was actually suspended, visited by the cops, and forced to take a psychological evaluation, which he is refusing to do now, just because he completed a teacher-approved product or a project for a pro-Second Amendment school project. Let me tell you what happened here. The incident began at the beginning of this week after Harvey accidentally left his USB drive in the computer lab. Another student opened up Harvey's 11th grade project and reported him to school officials. By 7 p.m. that night, his family were paid a visit by multiple law enforcement officers who investigated the claim and the project that he was working on last year. After they saw what he was working on, that there was no malice, there was no ill intent, it was a legitimate pro-Second Amendment school project, they completely let it go. But that wasn't enough. The school district suspended him for a week and ordered him to undergo a 5-hour psychological evaluation stemming from this anti-gun control project that was done actually 6 months before when they contacted I'm not sure what happened there. But anyways, they contacted the teacher. The teacher basically said she didn't remember approving it. The student and the parents disagreed with him. They had the paperwork. He completed the project and he got an A on it. The project was titled About Guns, showing Harvey's position on supportive of individuals' rights to self-defense. He cited several incidents involving home break-ins where they were thwarted when a homeowner fought back with a firearm. So this is just another incident now, over and over and over again. His parents have now contacted the court of public opinion and the news channel to let them know it's completely against school policy, that nothing he did was illegal or wrong. But this just continues to show you the narrative that I've talked about before of how the mainstream media, the school boards, especially the school systems, are designed to keep our children in this square box where we cannot think outside of it at all, where we're forced to believe and learn everything they tell us. If you simply do a pro-Second Amendment project, which they even said the law enforcement officers even looked at the project. He showed it to them. They came over and said, yeah, you can look at it. Pulled it on the computer. I said, oh, it's great. It's awesome. That's a good job on that. We'll leave now. And the fact that they suspended him and ordered him to take a psychological evaluation just continues to show you how anti-gun the globalist agenda is and what they're implementing in our public school systems. That's why it's so important, guys, if you can, to make sure you know what your children are learning in your school and try to get them the best education you can get them. A lot of private schools, magnet schools, charter schools, a lot of times you can control that a little bit better with the parent conferences and the parent boards. But a lot of these public school systems, man, there's just stuff going on, and they're teaching them this really, really, really weird globalist ideology that basically guns are bad, guns are horrible, nothing about guns are ever okay, you should never even think about guns, or else you're essentially a crazy person. So that's why I want to bring that up today, because it's getting pretty crazy now in the school system.
Well, I don't agree with the school systems at all. Of course, you already know that we homeschool, and if I didn't homeschool, I would use private Christian school. If I didn't do that, I would use a homeschool group. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do to keep your children buffered away from that. And remember, if what Hitler said, you know, and I hate quoting Hitler, but, you know, the guy had some good points, and he used them badly in some areas. Other things like the interstate highway systems, they were phenomenal. But he said, give me the mind of the youth, and in one generation, you know, basically, I'll control everything with a fascist doctrine. And that's what he tried to do with the Hitler youth. And so that's what they're doing in our school systems now. They're promoting homosexuality. They're promoting lesbianism. They're promoting alternative lifestyles. They're promoting pansexualism. They're promoting that guns are bad because they're trying to brainwash the...
I don't know what's going on with your feet, but I'm not hearing you. You seem like you just keep cutting out for no reason at all. I don't know what's going on with this connection, Todd. Sorry about this, guys. I don't know why his system's malfunctioning like this. We don't normally have this issue at all. Here's another interesting article I pulled up. This was about Coca-Cola and the actual 7 industrial uses you can use for it and put it to good use. Coke is the most valued brand in history so far as marketable. Coca-Cola is the world's second most recognizable word, and it's also the world's most popular drink, and it's virtually the most acidic drink you can legally consume. It's cheaper and easier to buy Coke in some third world countries than it is access clean water. Coke uses public relations propaganda to convince customers and entire nations that they're an environmental company, when in reality it's linked to pollution, water shortages, health problems, and diseases. Coca-Cola has a pH value of 2.5. Battery acid has a pH value of 1. Standard neutral water has a pH of 7. So it just goes to example the fact that Coca-Cola is closer, much closer to battery acid than it is water. Just one can of soda a day will increase your risk of diabetes by 26%. It will increase your risk of sudden heart attack by 20%. And get this, it will increase your risk of developing gout by 75%. Now, back in the day, whenever we used to ride motocross, if we ever got bolts or anything that had gotten rust built up on them when we took them off, a buddy of mine actually always had Coke in his house, which I didn't ever drink it, but he had it. He actually soaked the bolts in Coke overnight, and it would completely dissolve all the rust. A couple other things in here, it can clean your toilet very efficiently. If you have burn pans with food that's burnt to the bottom of them, you pour Coke in them, let it soak, rinse it off, and wipe it out. Oil stains on the garage floor, you can actually pour Coca-Cola on them, let it soak in the stain, and wash it off using a hose. It also can remove rust, as I mentioned before. It can clean your engine almost instantaneously, and it also works well on porcelain and removing stains from other ceramics as well. That's how acidic this stuff is, guys, from the phosphoric acid. This is something you really need to make sure you're not putting in your body. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, I don't have a Coke here, you know, or very often. And if you decide you want to do one occasionally, that's your choice. But the truth about it is, this stuff's loaded with GMO high fructose corn syrup. It's loaded with phosphoric acid. It's got a pH of 2.5, for heaven's sakes. And these people put it in their bodies on a regular basis. I mean, I've gone out before with people, and, you know, the first thing they get for drink, oh, I want a Coke, or I want a Pepsi, I want this. You haven't even eaten any food. You don't have any fat or carbohydrates or protein in your stomach to even blunt the absorption of that much sugar in one time, and you immediately start sucking this stuff down like it's the holy grail of healthy drink, and it's quite disgusting to me. I really don't understand it. So, again, guys, it's so unbelievably detrimental to your health. It's hard on your bones. It leaches calcium out of your bones.
That's right.
Massively increases your chances of cavity. I know, Dad, we've seen that with cavities all the time, Dad.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all the time. And I mean, I wouldn't say all of the issues I've seen with cavities are directly related to soda, but put it this way, I've never really had any type of soda in my life. As far as when I was younger, Mom and Dad let me have one here if I wanted to try something or a root beer, maybe a dozen throughout my entire upbringing total. And to this day, at 28 years of age, I've had zero cavities, Dad. And most people are shocked about that. But anybody else that I've talked to that's really absolutely just never drink sodas, didn't drink them when they're younger and they're adults now, they rarely ever have cavities, if like one that they've ever had when they were younger. That's it. That's how toxic this stuff is. It actually eats the enamel off your teeth and your mouth. Look it up. This is not stuff you want to put in your body.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I mean, a couple of years ago, I remember I got really upset. I was at church, okay?
Here's another article here from Breitbart. Hillary Clinton's State Department oversaw a government agency's expenditure of millions of taxpayer dollars to help companies outsource American tech jobs to foreign countries. In 2010, the U.S. Agency for International Development spent tens of millions of taxpayer dollars building schools in Sri Lanka and Armenia specifically to increase those countries' outsourcing capacity to take away American jobs. In August 2010, trade magazine Information Week reported the plan to use taxpayer dollars to help companies outsource American jobs in a piece titled U.S. to train 3,000 offshore IT workers. And they stated in here, despite President Obama's pledge to retain more high-tech jobs in the U.S., a federal agency run by a hand-picked Obama appointee had launched a $36 million program to train workers, including 3,000 specialists in IT and related functions in South Asia. Following their training, the tech workers will be placed with outsourcing vendors in the region that provide offshore IT and business services to American companies looking to take advantage of the Asian subcontinent's low labor costs. This is one of those things that that Trump keeps talking about. This is one of those things that everybody has to start understanding. You know, when we first started doing this, you know, and allowing companies to outsource their work and to do IT work out of the country. But I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but I mean, how frustrating is it, guys, when you call up somebody like, you know, Verizon or a phone company or this or that, and you cannot even understand them because of the Indian or Asian dialect over the phone, and you sit there asking them, are you in the United States? Oh, no, I'm in India. I'm in Asia. Okay, that's awesome. Do you have anybody there that speaks English? And you're literally only understanding every third or fourth word. And I'm not trying to be negative towards them. That's what they're doing. It's their job over there. It's their opportunity. But it's very frustrating as an American to have to deal with that and sit there and listen to somebody that doesn't even speak English when you're paying the company to essentially handle your business and you have an issue and you call them up. You back with us, Deb?
Yeah, I'm done with Skype. Something's going on with the internet down here right now, so I'm gone ahead and gone onto the phone line. So hopefully,
okay, good.
The signal's not too bad, but I'm not doing that. Four drops is enough. But I've got several comments that I was trying to make, but you're absolutely right about when you call international. And well, it's frustrating. I mean, it happens all the time with the credit card companies when there's a problem, and they always transfer you to their Filipino office or their Indian office. And the Indians aren't as bad as the Filipinos as far as their grammar and their English. But the Filipinos, my gosh, some of them can't even speak proper English. And on top of that, they really, really just don't have good phone skills. And so I've always asked to be transferred back to the United States to an American rep. And about 80% of the time, they hang up on you when you do that. They just hang up. And you got to call back and you got to play it. Sometimes you'll call four or five times before you finally get an American rep. But that's what I always do, is I always just ask for an American rep. And the reason I do that is this. Number one, I want to show American Airlines or Visa or whoever I'm calling, American Express, that I'm not playing that game, that dog doesn't hunt with me, and that I don't want our jobs in our country being outsourced. And whenever I get the person on the phone who is from America, I tell them what I did, and I tell them this is why I'm doing this, this is why I've called five times to get an American rep, is I'm trying to save your job. And some of them are really nice. They say, well, thank you so much for being concerned about our work. And I'm like, well, this is what it is. I said, we all have to work in this thing together. I mean, if we're not going to support one another as Americans, then who's going to support us? The Afghanis? They hate us. You know, the Syrians, they hate us. I mean, everybody hates us. The whole planet hates us because of our CIA. But real quick, I want to go back a couple of different places there. Did you hear what I was saying about the Hitler wanted to control the youth? Did that come through at all?
But we pretty much every time you started talking, we would hear about the first half of the sentence, and it would completely dissipate.
Okay, well, let me go back on that one because you know, when Hitler took control of Germany in 1933, he started his Hitler Youth. and he wanted to get control of the minds of the children. And the reason for that is once you can control the minds of the children within one generation, the older people are passing away, and the children's children are having their minds controlled, and pretty soon everybody becomes like a robot, like they did in Hitler and with Nazi Germany. And when that happens, nobody starts questioning the narrative anymore. And this is what the school systems have started doing to us in our country. And we were talking about that project that you had earlier about the kid having the cops show up at his house.
Yeah.
If they can continue to reinforce that negative continuum with everybody who's doing something wrong and make their lives as miserable as they possibly can be, then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're always on pins and needles. It's like Donald Trump said the other night. He goes, I get audited by the IRS every single year. I mean, there should be some law against the IRS being able to audit people every single year like that, because every time you do anything, you're always thinking, well, I got to make sure that everything runs through my 14 CPAs and my attorneys before we make a decision on anything. And that's the government red tape that Trump was talking about, Austin, because if you can't find a way to earn profit because you're having to pay all your money to attorneys and to CPAs, then you have to figure out real quick, you know, I can't do it this way, I've got to do it another way. And then if you make a mistake, you get it audited, you get penalties and interest. So it's a frustrating thing with the IRS in general, and that's why I always pay more taxes than I owe. I always overpay, and I don't even take the deductions that I'm legally allowed to do in many cases, because it's just not worth it to me, because I just didn't pay the taxes. And here's how Jim Rohn taught me to think about that. He said what you do on that is you basically decide real quick that you're paying for a section of the interstate highway that you drive on every single day. And if you understand that that's your part of the road, you need to be able to put a sign out there so that the Ted Brewer section of this highway, this quarter mile or eighth of a mile or tenth of a mile or sixteenth of a mile or twentieth of a mile or whatever your taxes pay or hundredth of a mile, then you understand why you're paying the taxes. If you start putting your mind around the fact that they're sending this to countries who hate us and they're doing abortions with this money, he says, it messes with your head too much, and you don't want to pay the taxes. But as long as you realize that the infrastructure has to be maintained, and that's where you're assuming they're putting your money, and you reframe it that way, it makes it a lot easier to pay taxes. And that's what I've always done. It makes it a lot easier that way. But now I will say there have been years that I haven't paid any taxes because we had no profit. And so the reality is this, those years don't bother me either, because it's just less money you've got to give away. That's how I look at all of this stuff. But always pay your taxes. That's one battle I don't have any interest in fighting. Now here's another interesting article. It says women in the know are now refusing mammograms. This is a article that Margie King wrote, and she has a big sign that just says "Say No." It says a new study: women with the real facts about mammograms are more likely to opt out of the test, despite the Pink campaign for early breast cancer detection. A recent Canadian study confirms that mammograms don't save lives. It's true that breast cancer screening campaigns find more cancers, and if they're implemented in the UK and Europe and the US, Australia, and other countries, the incidence of breast cancer has increased by 2-10% per year. But finding all those extra cases of breast cancer earlier hasn't saved any lives. The 25-year Canadian National Breast Screening Study followed 90,000 women aged 40 to 59 in a randomized controlled study. About half of these women were given annual mammograms, and the other half just visited their doctor without receiving the test. The researchers found that getting an annual mammogram does not reduce the mortality of breast cancer any more than getting a physical exam from a doctor. Now, I say that to say this. When you're subjecting your breast tissue to all of that radiation, you're going to increase, at that point, your level of breast cancer immediately. And so you have to think through this and weigh this out. Now, I'm not telling you that you don't get a mammogram. That's entirely up to you. I want you to make this decision on your own. Don't say I told you not to do it and you're not going to do it. What I'm saying is do the research on it and make a choice. Now, my wife and I, she asked me about these many, many years ago. I mean, we first got married. I said, what do you think about getting a routine mammogram? Now, Sharon will be 60 years old here in January. And I told her, I said, honey, that's up to you. I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I said, I've learned a long time ago it's a lot easier to have a great wife instead of an unhappy wife who's being told what to do all the time. I said, you make your own choices on it. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think it's a necessary test. I think self-examination or a medical doctor checking your breast for any kind of lumps is just as effective, and now the study has proven that. Plus, I also believe you increase the risks of breast cancer because of the radiation, and then you always end up with these, a lot of times, with these false negatives and false positives with the mammograms, which then puts the poor person into this incredibly altered state of, oh my God, I've got cancer, or oh my God, I'm okay, I don't have cancer, and when they may actually have cancer. So you have to be really careful with that. But let's take a look at this real quick. Dr. Laura Esserman of the University of California startled the medical community with an article questioning screening mammography. It's published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Dr. Laura Esserman reviewed 20 years of breast cancer data. Her conclusion is not favorable. Mammography screening for breast cancer has significant drawbacks and expected survival benefits have not materialized. While the incidence of early-stage breast cancer has decreased to mammography, the incidence rates for the killer cancers, the advanced cancers, have remained stable. While it is true that overall mortality rates have declined slightly, this is attributed to better treatment than to actually better detection. And she goes on to write this entire article about this. Now, I'm going to give you some suggestions here. Number one, ladies, do not use aluminum chlorhydrate antiperspirant deodorants. Now, here's why. Studies have shown that women, basically, who have breast cancer, and they analyze the cancer cells, have high levels of aluminum in those tissue cells, in those cancer cells. So you have to put aluminum, you don't put aluminum on your body. Remember, your skin is what's called a semi-permeable membrane. You can take a clove of garlic and cut it in half. And you can try this. Take a fresh clove of garlic, cut it in half, and rub it on your bare feet. Both feet, just sit there for 30 minutes. 30 minutes later, you'll taste the garlic in your mouth. It's that, your skin absorbs that much stuff. That's why our magnesium chloride mineral salts that we have from Health Masters work so well as far as absorption, because they go right through the skin. It's easier to absorb magnesium through the skin than it is orally, because the gastrointestinal tract primarily uses magnesium. It acts as a laxative in your body. Now, here's back to aluminum now. We also have a non-aluminum we have a non-aluminum deodorant that works absolutely phenomenal, which is also magnesium. I figure if you're going to absorb anything through your skin, you might as well absorb magnesium and not aluminum. Now, here's why, because we don't want that tissue being exposed to aluminum. When you rub that lotion under your arms, or that roll-on under your arms, or that spray under your arms that's full of aluminum, look how close you are to your breast tissue, right there, right where your lymph nodes are. So guys, don't use aluminum anything. Don't use aluminum pots and pans. Don't drink out of aluminum cans. Don't do anything. I mean, sodas are so acidic, Austin, that when they actually you put them in aluminum cans, they have to coat the inside of the can so the aluminum isn't etched by the acidity. People don't even realize that they're coated on the inside. But also, don't be cooking in aluminum pots and pans, because that massively increases your risk of Alzheimer's disease. The studies have been doing it. They've been out for 30 or 40 years on that. Don't drink, you know, products that are in aluminum containers. I mean, don't do that. Don't be putting anything in your body that's toxic. You don't want to have your filters, your kidneys turn into filters. It's just not something you need to do. So, guys, stay away from breast mammography as far as I'm concerned, but make your own choice on that. You know, and take potassium iodine every single day, at least 12 milligrams a day. That has been shown in study after study to massively reduce the risks of breast cancer, along with vitamin D as in dog 3 combined with K2. So if you take the potassium iodide, the D3, K2 every single day, along with your vitamin C, you'll massively decrease your risks of breast cancer. So to me, that makes more sense than going in and having your breast x-rayed every single year with a mammography and increasing the risks of cancer and not decreasing any type of death rate. So that's why I remember when Katie Whalen called me up last year, and she'd been diagnosed with that really aggressive form of breast cancer, and she was working with a medical doctor out there from a holistic standpoint in Denver. I told her, I said, look, I said, if you're going to be working with your doctor out there, I said, here's what you need to do as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, you just have to massively increase the antioxidant dosing and tell him to tell you to do that, and start taking vitamin C IVs at least once or twice a week. And that will also turn into the hydrogen peroxide in the system, oxygenate the cells, and really kill cancer cells. So that's what you need to do. And she listened to me, and her medical doctor probably already had her on all these programs anyhow. She worked with her doctor out there, and then within 6 or 8 or 9 months, she was basically cancer-free. So what's interesting about all of this is this. There's all kinds of natural ways to treat your immune system and to make it stronger. Chemotherapy is not one of those ways. Chemotherapy kills everything. It's just non-specific, right? So avoid it if you possibly can. But again, that's your choice. I'm not telling you how to treat your cancer. Now, guys, also do me another favor. If you have a friend of yours who has cancer, I no longer have a practice. I no longer deal with this, okay? I don't do this anymore. In fact, I never treated cancer when we had our clinic here in Central Florida, because that was 25, 30 years ago. But here's what you need to learn is don't contact me, please. And I ask you, please, I'm saying please again, like fifth time now, please. Don't call me up because you've got a friend's friend who has cancer and you want me to put them on a protocol. They don't know who we are. They don't know who I am. And plus, I'm not in practice anymore. I don't do that. So find yourself a medical doctor in your area that's nutritionally oriented and get your friend to go to that person. But the vast majority of the people, they're not going to do the nutritional route if they're not trained to accept nutritional answers. If they're only thinking all the time about either having immunizations or chemotherapy or radiation, and you want to try to show them there's an alternative, they simply won't listen. I don't know how to make that any more clear, Austin, because their brain isn't set up for alternative news or alternative treatment protocols. And so that's why you just say, hey, look, have you thought about going to Oasis of Hope in California or in Mexico with Dr. Contreras, who I know? I said, have you thought about alternative treatment protocols in other countries rather than chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery? Have you thought about that? That's how you approach a person who has cancer who basically doesn't want to try an alternative method. It's just easier to get them to start reading literature on it to try to make an educated decision rather than putting a fire hose down their throat and saying, here, take this, this, and this. It's going to cure you. Because in a lot of cases, it simply won't cure them anyhow because they're not going to change their lifestyle or their cancer is too far progressed or they've already been damaged from the chemotherapy and the radiation and weakened from the surgery. So you've got to realize it's a lot easier to prevent cancer by taking the potassium iodide every single day, taking your vitamin C every day, and taking vitamin D3 every day. It's a lot, and using the magnesium salts. It's a lot easier to prevent it than just to try to get rid of it. And it goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, Austin. Your health has to be one of your primary assets. You can't treat it as though it's not important. You've got to eat clean. You've got to drink clean water. You've got to do everything you can do. Pray. You have to pray. You have to do everything you can do like it's all up to you. And you've got to pray like it's up to God. And you've got to thank God for the total healing and the total restoration that your body has on an ongoing basis. But if you're filling your body up with GMO foods, if you're drinking fluoride, if you're drinking chlorine, if you're using toothpaste with fluoride, and then you're doing all of these things that are unbelievably toxic, don't be surprised if finally your body just kind of gives up and says, I can't take this anymore, I just need to go ahead and just die, because the body doesn't know what to do either. It's become such a toxic overload in that system that it simply can't cope with everything. And so that's what we die from, is the toxicity. Dr. Alexis Carroll, years ago, did a chicken heart embryo cell test in which he actually put these chicken heart embryo cells, you know, inside of his petri dish, and he kept them alive in there for years, changing out the water every single day and putting nutrients in them until finally he died, and one of his people who were supposed to be continuing the experiment forgot to change the water. It got toxic and the cells died. That's what happens in our body. Our body dies in many cases from toxicity or from a lack of nervation. The nerve endings are cut, or from asphyxiation. So there's all kinds of different reasons that you die. But the only reason our body ever dies, and this is actually the clinical cause of death, is that your mitochondria stop producing ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate. That's the only reason anybody dies, is your ATP stops being produced and it's the energy of the cell. And that is because it's not getting the nutrients, or it's because it's toxic, or because it's been cut off from nerves, or it's because it's been cut off from oxygen. That's how you die. That's how you age. And so it makes a lot more sense to go ahead and eat the right foods and do the right things. That's why we really appreciate you guys when you sign up for our newsletters at healthmasters.com, when you get your supplements from healthmasters.com, because it gives us the ability to go out and teach you and help you to stay healthy. It's a lot easier to be your health coach and teach you how to stay healthy than it is to try to tell you what doctor to go to in your area for some advanced cancer protocol. It's a lot easier to stay healthy than it is to try to deal with the disease. It's a lot easier to stay healthy than it is to try to recover from brain cancer or brain tumors or glial tumors or heart disease or bypass surgery or all these different types of things that they do so readily now. But guys, listen to me. Do the alternatives. Do the healthy things. And your body will thank you, your family will thank you, and quite frankly, you'll be here a lot longer as far as I'm concerned. What do you think about all that, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right about it, Dad. I mean, and that's what we try to instill in so many people and give them the knowledge base, is that, you know, this isn't something you just do occasionally. This is a whole lifestyle change. And like the same thing with Dad said, when we have people email us, and it happens on a regular basis, when they have a friend who's in the hospital getting treated with cancer, it has nothing to do with us not wanting to help them. We want to help everybody. We really try to help everybody that we can. But the problem is, when your friend has already chosen to go the medical route and start chemo or go into the hospital and start the doctor's protocol, that's what he needs to follow at that point, because there's no reason for us to get involved to give him a protocol that he's not going to follow and waste everybody's time and just get completely interwoven with a bunch of drama that's completely unneeded. It doesn't. There's no reason for it. So that's why we say it. It has nothing with us wanting to not help people. We want to help everybody we can, but we have to be able to help people from the beginning aspect instead of waiting to call us as the last-ditch effort to try and fix them when they're in the hospital already under doctor's care. And quite frankly, the best option is preventative measure.
Let me clarify what Austin just said. We don't treat cancer in our office at all. We don't do that. We don't treat heart disease or diabetes or cancer, and we don't do that. We don't treat anybody. We're not licensed to do that. We don't do that. We don't give out health advice as far as what drugs you should or shouldn't be taking. We don't do any of that. What we do is we help you to set up a good, healthy nutrition program to help your body and your body's immune system to stay healthy. That's all we've ever done. That's all we've ever will ever do, because we're not going to be involved in anything else. Because number one, I don't want to deal with the American Medical Association and all these other agencies by doing stuff like that. Because remember, one of their little pet peeves is cancer. They love cancer. It's a huge industry with hundreds of billions of dollars in profits every single year because of the chemo, radiation, and surgery. So they know how to cure cancer, just like they have had those cures suppressed for decades. I mean, they know that. I mean, that's why Bradstreet and Gonzalez are both dead. I mean, they know how to do it. They know how to work and how to correct it, and they have natural protocols that can follow. You know, they're in the archives. Now, most medical doctors do not know those things. They simply don't know them. But when you go to alternative therapy clinics outside of the country, they know how to do all of that. So it's in the literature. The problem is, it's just not something they're allowed to do from a nutritional standpoint in some cases, because a lot of states have severe laws and penalties on that. So all we do is, when you call Health Masters up, we just say, hey, look, guys, here's the deal. You want to stay healthy? Let's find some supplements that'll work for you. You want to get your energy up? Let's find some supplements that'll work for you. Hey, you want some good deodorant? We got some of that too. Hey, you want a really good multivitamin? We've got that. See, that's the key. That's what we do. So please don't put us into that third-party mode of trying to help one of your friends who's dying of cancer. And I know you guys trust us because you know we're going to tell you the truth. We got that, okay? Thank you for that. But we simply can't do that. That's not what we do. Plus, they're not the ones asking us to help them build their immune system. You're asking for them, and that doesn't work at all. Second and third-party consults don't work. My brother's neighbor's cousin's friend who's got a ranch out in Montana has an employee who basically works for him, who's got an uncle and another who's got a cousin up in Canada, and he needs some help. What the heck does that even mean? And so that's the problem we run into. We're like, well, just have them call us. We'll help them get on a healthy diet. We'll teach you how to eat right, eat clean. Well, no, they don't. No, no, they don't. They're not interested. They want you. No, we don't do that. So thanks again. So please forgive us if you get mad at us about that, because we don't mean to make anybody mad and start sending all this information out. Saudi Arabia to sell all U.S. assets as Congress overrides Obama veto. This thing's deeper than what we think, guys. I told you that yesterday. Yep. Congress voted to override Obama's veto that families of those killed in terror attacks of 9/11 would not be allowed to sue Saudi Arabia. So now Saudi Arabia is liquidating U.S. assets. Now, why are they doing that? Well, it's very simple why they're doing it. It's simple. They don't want their assets attached. It's a lot more difficult to have an asset attached through a judgment in another country than it is in the United States if they have an asset here. That's why, you know, people incorporate their companies, incorporate their businesses, incorporate their lives, and they use trust and everything else to distance themselves from any assets, because we're such a litigious society. So Saudi Arabia has now decided that they don't want to have everybody suing them and attaching their assets, so they're liquidating them. Another interesting story, strange death of JP Morgan workers are continuing. Last Thursday, September 22nd, the body of Ann Corky, a senior administrative assistant in the wealth management resort on Seychelles, an island in the Indian Ocean off the East African coast. Anne was 37. Her sister was 42. According to local newspapers, there was no sign of violence in the women who were on a one-week vacation. Guys, a whole bunch of people in these top banks now, including over there in Deutsche Bank, are killing themselves, jumping out windows, hanging themselves. I mean, these guys who are doing this and are involved in this, I personally believe they're having these people killed because they're trying to cover up the trail, and I believe that's what all of this is about. What do you think, Oz?
No, that's exactly what it's about. We've seen all these bankers repeatedly dying from these mysterious causes, jumping out of buildings, you know, dead on the floor in their house, can't figure out what's going on. That's exactly what's going on. And also, too, a new article is coming out now about our privacy, is that soon spying streetlights equipped with a shot spotter microphone will be in every city and town. It's because GE Lighting has now coupled with ShotSpotter, are working together to spy on everyone. Last year, GE and SST announced they're combining forces to put SST surveillance devices in all of their streetlights. The understanding between GE Lighting and SST, developer of the ShotSpotter crime detection and location suite, lays grounds to embedding sophisticated technology. We're entering an area where lighting is much more than illumination now. We're talking about spying on an entire population all the time. And what's interesting about this shot spotter technology, they've implemented this in some cities already, but it basically is interfaced with the lighting. You guys already know they've started putting microphones and lighting all over the country. Anytime they start doing really basically newer lighting systems, they redo and get all the old lighting systems out of a town. They're all doing them with microphones. Now, they say it's to help with crime. They say it's to help with traffic control. They're putting cameras on all kinds of poles all over the place, just like they do in the UK. The shot spotter thing, what it does is it actually picks up real-time gunfire detection and pinpoint accuracy where the firearm was shot from. And then they say it provides critical event data to responders, such as precise location of incident and the number of shots, and gives it to the 911 operator and then obviously dispatches immediately. The issue about this whole thing that we're starting to see now is you have to understand is we're not alone. Every time you're anywhere now, you better be in a private area or know what you're saying, because not only are these guys spying on everything that you say or do via our emails, via our phones, whatever, they're listening to everything now, even in public places. And if firearms are shot, they're going to know exactly where they're shot from. A lot of people go, well, it's not a big deal. I'm not running around the city shooting stuff, getting in trouble. What do you guys think? This is going to stop here? You think this is just going to stop? They'll start implementing all types of statutes like they've done over the years. Every single time, they'll start saying, well, if this is done, this is done. We have to find you. Now we know exactly where you're at. Oh, you shot in a berm that wasn't specifically tall enough, on acres that wasn't specifically big enough out in the woods. We're coming to arrest you now. We know exactly where you shot the firearm. This is how it starts going, guys, further, further, further down the police state. So this is interesting to me now that GE is coupled with SST. This is interesting because GE is huge as far as the lighting contracts that they have all over the country. And the fact that they're implementing ShotSpotter, guys, this is a huge, 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 just unbelievably kick in the gut to our constitutional rights, because these guys are not going to stop at this at all.
No, you're right, Austin. Once this police state starts, it's hard to get it to go back, because once the government starts putting these regulations in place, they don't like disassembling it. That's like the Department of Education and all the rest of it, Department of Energy, Department of Education. Once the bureaucracy gets in place and tens of thousands of people end up getting a job, they simply don't want to turn around and start liquidating all of these job positions, because so many of these people are voters and the publicity is too bad for it. So they'll continue to run this horrible division like Department of Education, and they don't care, because it's just what they do, and it's been around for so long, it's supposed to be, it becomes normalcy. And so at that point in time, it gets so ingrained into our culture, it's almost hard to get rid of. Same thing with the Department of Energy. A lot of these departments need to be completely done away with to save taxpayers' money, and there's no reason to have all of these people on these high-end paying jobs that don't do anything and don't produce any revenue for the country. It don't contribute to the gross domestic product, gross national product. Here's another article from World News, Russia Today. It says, Russia is fully ready to continue the dialogue with the U.S. regarding joint sanctions to combat terrorists in Syria, the Russian military defense has said. It stressed, however, that this is only possible if Washington abstains from any kinds of threats and hints of threats to Russia's military and citizens. The statement came in response to comments made by U.S. Secretary of Spokesperson John Kirby at a press briefing on Wednesday. Kirby said that if the war in Syria continues, more Russian lives will be lost and more Russian aircraft will be shot down, as extremist groups will continue to exploit the vacuums that are there in Syria to expand their operations, which would include attacks against Russian interests. I mean, who is this guy? Perhaps Russian cities? Speaking on Thursday, Russian Ministry of Defense spokesman Major General Koshinov said, once again, we declare that we are fully prepared to continue the dialogue with America side, with the American side, and carry on with the joint actions to combat terrorists in Syria. However, even the slightest hint of a threat to our soldiers and Russian citizens must be excluded from this dialogue. The matter of safety of Russian citizens, wherever they may be, is not up for bargaining. It is our main and unconditional priority, the spokesman stressed. I mean, I don't know why we have to run around. I'm telling you guys, this whole thing with Barack Obama and the globalists running his White House, and they did the same thing with George W., and they did the same thing with Clinton, and they did the same with George H., and they did it indirectly through Reagan while he was so medicated, and they did the same thing all the way back to Carter, and they did the same thing with Nixon, but not as much with Nixon because he was such a crook. I mean, he basically was, he was as nasty as they were, but they did the same thing with Johnson. He was a bigger crook than Nixon was. And they tried to do it with Kennedy. They couldn't get it done, and they killed him. So this goes all the way back. So, I mean, the only president that I know that was, to me, that was the best in my lifetime that I remember is John F. Kennedy. The second president, of course, is Reagan. And had he not been shot, you know, a few months into office, it would have been a lot better for him because he would have actually been able to stay lucid and not medicated the entire time he was in the White House taking naps every day. What do you think, Oz?
Well, yeah, former CIA contractor Stephen Kelly just did an interview today, and he even said that the U.S. claiming that Russian troops will go home in body bags if Moscow doesn't end its Aleppo offensive is absurd. He said Russia is the only answer to defeating ISIS. He also went on to say, he said the U.S. has always been the main sponsor and creator of ISIS. He said, so this charade that they are having anything to do with fighting ISIS in Syria is completely a farce. I think the rest of the world is smart enough to realize that everything that comes out of the mouth of John Kirby or any of the State Department personnel is complete and total nonsense. He said if they don't put an end to an offensive, then basically they're simply pretending to fight the ISIS state. That's all they're doing. And this is coming from Stephen Kelly, who's a former CIA contractor. He's not cutting any slack. He said this is completely out of line. He said Russia should sever all relations on this. That this is basically a veiled threat to Russia, what he said today on that. And that it's a complete and total joke because the U.S. has nothing to do with fighting ISIS. All they've done is been sponsoring and creating ISIS and making them stronger and stronger and stronger. Guys, this is from Stephen Kelly, who's a former CIA contractor. He has no reason to lie about this, and he has every bit of knowledge that anybody would have, especially being in the CIA and being a contractor exposed to all this stuff these guys are involved in. If you don't believe me, go watch 13 Hours, and you'll see exactly how they treat the contractors when they're over there and exactly what they're exposed to. That movie right there will show you more than anything what a complete and total failure of a human being Hillary Clinton is at trying to fulfill her duties at any type of governmental position, including Secretary of State and especially President of the United States. That should completely show the American population that she is derelict in any type of duty in serving us. But no, nobody wants to believe it. Everybody wants to start getting on the Hillary bandwagon now because she completely cheated on this last debate, had the question, was working hand-in-hand with the moderator, and now everybody thinks she's this, you know, savior, which is what the globalists are trying to poise her as. They want her to come in as the first female president savior to try and save America when we know exactly what she's involved in. But yeah, Dad, this is just getting crazier as far as what we're seeing now with the propaganda going towards Russia, trying to make them look like there's some agitator that we need to get in a big fight with. We do not need to get in a fight with Russia, and in my opinion, Russia does not want to get in a fight with us at all. They're simply going out of their way to eliminate ISIS, which is exactly what the U.S. does not want, because they want to try and take over Assad in Syria, as we've already talked about numerous times.
Well, what it all boils down to is they're defending their ally.
Yep.
Assad and Syria is their ally, and they're basically friends. And Russia is basically saying, well, no, we don't want you to go in here and take this country over with the CIA. And so they're saying no. And so our boys are just getting all bent out of shape because it's taken too many years and too many tears and too many deaths and too much money and everything else. And everybody knows that we're the ones who funded ISIS. We support ISIS or whatever you want to call them. Now, they change their name on a regular basis. I mean, but we're the ones doing it. The whole CIA is the one backing it all. That's why they're running around in new Hummers. Not Hummers, new Toyota vehicles. And they've got all of our armaments and our M16s. And I mean, we saw a couple of years ago where they actually dropped an entire weapon cache behind enemy lines to those guys from C-130 transport planes via parachutes. I mean, are you kidding me? Well, no, they did it. You can look it up. So, I mean, this is all nonsense. But here's the thing, though, Austin. Because of the Internet, because of Rush Limbaugh, because he's talking about this stuff, too, in some now, and because of Mike Savage, who they pulled off the air the other day when he started talking about some of this stuff and about Hillary, and because of Jones, and because of us, and because of Hagmans, and because of Hodges, you know, right there, you got 50, 60, 70 million people between all of those listeners that are listening to these alternative talk shows, not even to mention Fox News, saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, this thing's messed up. This can't stay this way indefinitely because we're just going to have too many problems. Here's another article. At least three dead, more than 100 people injured after a New Jersey commuter train crashes into the station. It's from The Guardian. The engineer of a train that crashed at a high rate of speed into the Hoboken, New Jersey train station Thursday morning rush hour, killing 34-year-old mother, killing a 34-year-old mother and injuring 112 people is cooperating with police. The crash happened after 8:30 and was involved in the number 1614 Paxville Valley Line train. The train left Spring Valley at 7:32, scheduled to arrive at Hoboken at 8:34. So law enforcement have said that the crash did not appear to be deliberate or an act of terrorism. However, the exact cause is still under investigation. It's unclear how fast the train was going when it crashed into the terminal. The guy was probably texting. He was probably on his phone. He was probably taking his tricyclic antidepressant and medications, or his serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and he was in the he zoned out, fell asleep, took a nap. I don't know. Who knows? All I know is the system of trains in the United States is antiquated. It's absolutely awful. It's awful, 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 awful. I know, Austin, you took a train several times to Miami, and I remember you say, Dad, this is just awful. But you could actually take a train down there as fast as you could drive because of traffic. But it was just a mess. And what's interesting about all of this, when you go to Europe, because the train system is so advanced, especially in Germany and in Switzerland, if it tells you that the train's going to be there at 1:31, at 1:30, you better be standing close to the tracks, because what's going to happen is that train's going to open those doors, and you're going to have like 90 seconds to get your luggage in, and that train's going to close at 1:32 and a half, and it's going to be gone. You've been with me. You know Austin. So all the trains over there are really well maintained. They got very strict regulation. Personally, I don't think that the guys driving these trains or involved with these trains should even have a cell phone with them. They should have a two-way radio to contact the folks, or the radio inside of the cab for the locomotive. But they should not have any ability to use cell phones at all on those trains when they're operating that heavy equipment and getting distracted. So I don't know if that's what happened here, but they'll soon find that out. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I saw that on the news as far as that train wreck. I mean, it was definitely a pretty nasty wreck. And I don't know if the guy was texting. It would not surprise me, though, because that type of behavior seemed to be very acceptable now while you're operating a vehicle, which is not good at all. It's not good at all to text and drive. You need to pull over. You need to have your passenger send a text. I've done that multiple times when I'm driving Atlanta. Somebody texts me up for something, and I'm not trying to call them. You know, I'll just hand them the phone and be like, hey, text them this. You know, be there in 15. Done. It's over with. Easy enough. That's what you're done. But swerving all over the road and not watching traffic and rear-ending people, I mean, that's just how my grandma just got rear-ended the other day, Dad. You were telling me about it. Some girl was behind her texting on her phone, rear-ended her, boom.
Yep, doesn't watch. And see, the other day I was with a realtor, and we were looking at some property, and I told him, I said, dude, please get off the phone. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you're just making me really uncomfortable. I said, you're texting while you're driving at 70 miles an hour. I said, I just have a problem with this. And I said, you want to text and have me take the steering wheel? I mean, is that what you want to do? He goes, sure, go ahead. And I thought I was kind of joking. So he just says, here, take the wheel. I'm holding the wheel with my left hand in the front seat, steering down the highway while he's texting. I'm thinking to myself, this is just not good. This is just nuts. And finally, I told him, I said, dude, I said, that's just really uncomfortable for me. I don't want to do this. Can we just pull over? Can you just text from the side of the road, please? And it was funny. And I told him, I said, you know, man, this is just nuts. But I know people that do it all the time. They don't pay attention to what they're doing. And that's why it's illegal in most states, but it hadn't slowed anybody down. Here's another interesting article. Clinton was wrong. The Supreme Court says the stop and frisk is constitutional. This is from Breitbart. Although Hillary Clinton condemned New York City stop and frisk policy during Monday's debate, aided by Lester Holt, the third debater, I should say, can't call him a moderator, the truth is that the stop and frisk is perfectly constitutional under the Bill of Rights, Fourth Amendment. Reuter Mayor Judy Allen implemented stop and frisk during his mayorship of the Big Apple, a tenure lauded as one of the most effective and successful big city turnarounds in American history. During the Hofstra debate, Holt asked Clinton about how she would improve race relations in America. Clinton responded in part by pivoting to stop and frisk to vilify it, making it part of her answer. Stop and frisk was found to be unconstitutional, and in part because it was ineffective. Donald Trump responded by pointing out that crime dropped under Giuliani and continued at that reduced level when his successor, Michael Bloomberg, continued the same policies initiated by the American's mayor. Crime in Gotham dropped by 85%. Apparently that's going to be New York. In 85% from 1994 when the policy began through 2013, then Mayor Bill de Blasio ended the practice. Okay, here's the thing. You know, I don't like stop and frisk. I think it's an unconstitutional disaster, okay? But here's the thing. If you're a cop and you're being forced into the ghetto, okay, into a crime-ridden area, whether it's the black part of town or the white part of town or the Hispanic part of town, it's just a bad part of town or the Chinese part of town that has a lot of crime, you know, and you're being forced to go in there, and you don't know who's armed and who's not armed, and pretty much everybody's in there who is armed is not legally armed. They're all breaking the law. And you don't know what's going to happen, and you're going to get shot. Well, if you're going to start stopping and frisking all of these people in that ghetto, you better have a bunch of backup, and you better be wearing a bunch of bulletproof material around your body, because you're probably going to get shot almost immediately. So if you're using stop and frisk because people are rioting and doing stuff and they're breaking the law, I've got no problem with it. But just walking down the street, and the cop walks up to me and says, spread them! You know, and I'm like, spread them for what? Are you nuts? That's my response. Because they don't have the right to do that unless they can prove that you're involved in something that you shouldn't be involved in, or unless you perhaps meet the description of somebody who was involved in something. I got that, too. What do you think about that, Austin? That's one of those big, big debates.
It is. It's a very fine line, because in my opinion, it's completely unconstitutional, the idea of it. The concept of what they originally used a lot of it for was when they would get a call to a certain area about an individual meeting a description of being involved in a homicide or a shooting or fleeing the scene from a shooting. And what they would do is when backup would arrive or they would be going around the streets trying to find somebody, it basically gave them the ability to stop people that met the description or at least closely met the description and stop and frisk them. And what it did do, and Trump is right about this, especially in New York, because of some unbelievable... I mean, I've been to New York, guys, and I've walked around in a lot of places, not just, you know, downtown. I mean, there's some rough places in New York. And in most cases, not all cases, but most cases, majority of the people that are carrying firearms in New York are convicted violent felons. There's no question about that, because firearms are illegal in New York. So majority of people that are carrying firearms are convicted felons that have been involved in multiple violent crimes. Majority of people that are law-abiding citizens that have nothing wrong to do are rarely carrying an illegal firearm or a stolen firearm or a firearm that's been linked to a lot of different shootings. Majority of the time in New York, when they found those guns, they were absolutely right. It was usually a stolen firearm. It was a firearm that was used in multiple shootings. And it was usually somebody that was a violent felon that was in possession of that firearm. So in theory, it did work effectively for what it did. But on the constitutional side of it, it was completely wrong, because you still don't really have the right to stop, detain, and frisk somebody because you think they may be involved in something. It's a very, very, very strange area to me, because I'm very pro-constitutional. You guys know that. I'm very pro-Second Amendment. But on the other hand, too, people that have been involved and convicted of multiple violent felonies absolutely have no place in our society carrying firearms around, because obviously they're going to be inclined to use them in a dangerous, illegal manner at any time they feel to do so, because they have nothing to lose, because how many times they've been to prison, they obviously don't care about going back. So it's a real juggle, Dad. It's very difficult. What he said is right as far as it did reduce the crime in New York. The constitutional aspect and having police that overstep their boundaries with people that are law-abiding citizens is really a thing to juggle. So I don't know how well it can be implemented with law enforcement up there. But it has worked, but it is unconstitutional. So,
this is the problem with the whole gun control issue, is that the criminals don't turn their guns in.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about this 100 times. It's just the criminals don't turn. That's what's so stupid about the whole theory with this. I mean, the criminals don't turn their guns in. By the way, before I forget this, Denzel Washington has come out now and supported Donald Trump.
And so, I like
what Denzel. But the thing about it all is this, guys. I mean, you know, unconstitutional carrying of firearms when you're a convicted felon and after you've shot somebody or been in prison, you know, you're not going to get these people to give up guns if you take the guns rights away from the legal people. And New York City basically, you know, was a crime nightmare before Giuliani started doing that, kind of like Chicago is now. And so I don't know what the answer to all that is. It's going to be somebody who basically gets a higher pay grade than me. Here's an interesting article. Black Trump supporters protest Hillary's event in Florida, and they outnumber her supporters. This is the Gateway Pundit. Maurice Warnes is the organizer of an Austin group of young black Americans who understand the truth and history of the anti-black Democratic Party. Maurice helped organize previous rallies with activist Pamela Geller and filmmaker Andrew Marcus. This week, Michael ordered a protest outside of the grand opening of Hillary Clinton's campaign office in Hollywood, Florida. Michael got his friends together and organized the anti-Hillary pro-Trump rally in one day. Hillary was supposed to show up, but it was a no-show. Of course, she was probably coughing. Despite the fact that Hillary was scheduled to make an appearance, only 12 people turned out to see her. 12. 1-2. Like teen, like not even teenager yet. 12 showed up. And so they had more people there protesting her than showed up. The lady doesn't want to basically campaign. She doesn't want to do that. Either she knows something we don't know about the globalists and what they're doing as far as rigging the thing, or she's scared that somebody's going to shoot her, which, God forbid, I hope that does not happen. And so, you know, I want to have a legal race. I don't want this whole thing to get put on hold and have King Obama, the gay Kenyan, in there any longer. I've had enough of all that. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right on it. I mean, it's all so crazy to me. But going back to one last thing, you know, for a health thing, because I didn't get to discuss it too much yesterday. You know, we talked about alternatives to statins. We get a lot of phone calls. I got more of them today about it. And the vascular relaxant that we have on sale this week, that product is a sustained-release niacin. It does really, really good at helping to bring down LDL levels if you're trying to get your cholesterol into a good, healthy range. That product, coupled with the Cholesterol X, does really good. So those two together can really help get your cholesterol in a normal range. And if you are trying to come off statins, you obviously need to talk to your doctor about doing that and figure out the best way to do so. If you haven't gone on any type of medication, that's even better. You can usually work really well with a diet and these supplements and getting your cholesterol at a very, very healthy level. So I kind of wanted to bring that up and explain it because it's on the website this week. It'll be a product of the week, like always, till next Wednesday. And that's on sale for like over 10% off. And it's sustained release, so it does a really good job at not flushing you out. And that's been why it's so popular among a lot of our customers.
Well, awesome. Thanks, buddy. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you on Sunday night. We appreciate you guys. And pray. Continue to pray. Believe God and realize that Jesus is Lord. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
Yep, guys. We appreciate everything. You guys have a blessed, wonderful night. Email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a wonderful night, wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.